James mentioned it last night. So let me ask you, did you see me on TV? Did you see me on the game show, The Price is Right? I was on that thing. For 16 and a half years, I preached for the Hendersonville Church about 30 miles from here. For the last 9 and a half years, I've been traveling all across America doing some preaching. And some time ago, I was preaching out in California. And one day we decided to go down to Hollywood to the game show, The Price is Right. And I was sitting there in the audience, and all of a sudden I heard my name, Alan Parker. Alan's my first name. Alan Parker, come on down. And I went on down. Did you guys see me on the game show, The Price? I was on that thing. Not only was I on the show, I got on the stage because I won the bid. Not only did I get on the stage, I got into the showcase because I did the wheel. You ladies know what I'm talking about. I did that wheel. It landed on a dollar that got me $1,000, put me into the showcase, folks. Not only did I get into the showcase, I won the showcase. On the game show, The Price is Right, I won the showcase. Is there anybody in this audience that needs a snowmobile? On the 4th of July, a snowmobile? That's what I want, a snowmobile. And I won a jet ski, a wave runner. I was on that thing. It is at home. I was on that thing this afternoon. And I won a trip to Maui. And I won a trip to Canada. And I won that $1,000. I won a lawnmower and a weed eater and a blower. It was about a $33,000 day. Pretty good year and a day, wouldn't you say? You see, that was a big deal for me. It was a big deal to be out in California preaching for that church. It was a big deal to be on the game show. The Price is Right. Let me tell you what's a big deal. It's a big deal to be with the Pleasant View Church of Christ. And it's been a big deal to be with the Coopertown Church of Christ. Did you have a happy 4th? Did you have some barbecue today? Anybody have barbecue?
No.
One person. What about the hot dogs or hamburgers? 3, 4, 5. Okay, hot dogs, hamburgers. Homemade ice cream?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, watermelon. I had watermelon today. Did you shoot any fireworks?
No.
Where's Jill? I met Jill a few minutes ago. There she is. I want you to notice her outfit. Is there anybody here tonight who has on an outfit kind of like Jill? Are you wearing red, white, or blue? Anybody wearing blue jeans count? Okay, blue jeans count. Red, white, or blue. Very good. I don't know about you, but I'm proud to be an American. What about you, huh? Kind of feel like old Lee Greenwood, from the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston, from New York to L.A. There's pride in every American heart, and it's time that we stand and we say, I'm proud to be an American, or at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died and gave that right to me, and I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, because there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. And that's the way I feel. See, I'm proud to be an American, and I'm proud to be with the Pleasant View Church of Christ. Now, last night, did you notice I called you the Plain View Church? I have preached for a Plain View Church of Christ. Last night, I called you Plain View, but you're Pleasant View, right? Maybe I called you Plain View because some of you are pleasant, some of you are plain. But I'm glad to be with you, regardless, okay? What an honor. Thank you for the invitation. It's been a big deal to preach where Chet and James preach every Sunday. It's been a big deal to be with you. May the 28th, 2001, over 17 years ago, my family and I left on a 65-day trip. I had gone to the leaders of our church, the Hendersonville Church, back in 1996, about 5 years before. And I said, you know, in 2001, my children are going to be 19, 15, and 12. And what I would like to do, I would like to take a leave of absence from the ministry. I would like to break away the summer of 2001. And they permitted that. I said, you don't have to pay me. Just, I want a leave of absence from the ministry. And so they permitted that. 5 years rolled around. On May the 28th of 2001, we set out on a 65-day trip. We drove 9,610 miles. We visited over 20 states. We went to about 8 national parks. We ended up going on a cruise to Alaska. And I tell you, folks, every day's a holiday, and every night was Saturday night. My children do not remember what they got for Christmas in 2001, but they do remember the summer of 2001. We had a big time, but I'll never forget on that very last day, the 65th day, as we came from Arkansas back into the state of Tennessee, we crossed over the Mississippi River. We saw the sign, Tennessee welcomes you. Welcome to Tennessee. My oldest daughter, Ashley, 15 years old, in the back seat of the car. When she saw the sign, she said, "Oh, it's so good to be back home." And I said to her, I said, "Sweetheart, we ain't home yet." And I want to tell you, good people, we ain't home yet. I like Coopertown, but move. Coopertown is not home.
Keith, move.
He wants me to move there. I like it, but not that much, okay? I like Pleasant View, but I'm telling you, Pleasant View is not home. I've lived in Hendersonville for 25 plus years, but Hendersonville is not home. I like the state of Tennessee, but Tennessee's not home. I grew up in Alabama, but Alabama's not home, and Tennessee's not home, and Coopertown's not home, and Pleasant View is not home. Our home is in heaven, and that's what we're going to be talking about tonight on the very last night of this revival. I'm free at last, because heaven is home. I'm glad you're here. I want you to open your Bibles, please, to John chapter 14. Everybody take a Bible and go with me, please, to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. There's the book, chapter 14. You've heard it many, many times. It's been read at funerals, been quoted in sermons, but I want you to listen to the words of Jesus as though you've never heard them. Listen to these words with fresh ears. John 14, let's start in verse 1. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." I want us to do something tonight. You know, every Sunday we count people. Every Wednesday we count people. Tonight I want us to get a Bible count. May I see your Bible, please? Be proud of it. Just raise it up. Look around, folks. Wow, that is awesome. Thank you for bringing that book. I want you to take that Bible and just kind of hold it in your hand, okay? We call it the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Have you ever wondered what the Bible is all about? It's a big book, 66 books in the Bible, 39 in the Old, 27 in the New. There are 1,189 chapters in the Bible. How many? 1,189 chapters. What's this book all about? Let me sum it up with one word. Jesus. This book is about Jesus, and it's from Jesus. No wonder Paul would say in Colossians 3, verse 16, "Let the word of Christ live in you richly in all wisdom," because this book is not only about Christ, it is from Christ. Three facts about Jesus in the Bible. Fact number one, from Genesis through Malachi, that's Old Testament, the implication is Jesus is coming. Many prophets of old people like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Micah predicted the coming of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior, is coming. Fact number two, from Matthew 1 through Acts 1, the implication is Jesus is here. He's here on this earth. Look at him. You can see him. You can touch him. You can hear him. He's Emmanuel. He's God with us. God became flesh and lived among men. Jesus is here. That's Matthew 1 through Acts 1. Fact number three, from Acts 1 verse 11 through Revelation 22:21, the implication is Jesus is coming again. So Old Testament, he's coming. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he's here, he's present. Acts 1 verse 11 through Revelation 22:21, our Lord Jesus is coming again. And that third implied fact, the fact that Jesus is coming again, is the fact that Jesus is talking about here in John chapter 14 when he said, hey, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Brothers and sisters, sometimes I do not think like it. Sometimes I do not talk like it. Sometimes I don't treat people like it. But more than anything in the world, I want to go to heaven. What about you? More than anything in the world, I want to be saved. And tonight, I want to tell you why. I want to talk to you about that beautiful place we call heaven.
In the first place, I want to go to heaven because heaven is a place. It's a real place. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. You ever heard a preacher say something like, heaven is a prepared place for prepared people? You've heard that, right? Maybe you've heard Chet say that or James say that. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. I believe that's a true statement. It's not true because preachers make that statement. It's a true statement because that's what Jesus said. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Implication, heaven indeed is a prepared place for prepared people. Heaven is a place. Now, it's not like Oz and the Wizard of Oz. It's not a fictitious place. It's a real place. Not a physical place. Not like Pleasant View. It's not a physical place. Not like Hendersonville. Not a physical place. It's a spiritual place, but a real place. Somebody says, wait a minute, Keith, how do you know that? You've never been to heaven. You've never seen heaven. Folks, I've never been to China. Maybe you have. Is China a real place? I've never seen Mexico City. Is Mexico City a real place? I've never been to Australia. Is Australia a real place? In Matthew chapter 2, you read about the city of Bethlehem. I've been there. In fact, I've been there twice. God willing, I'm going again in December. Love to have you to go with us. Is Bethlehem a real place? In Matthew chapter 3, you read about the Jordan River. Is the Jordan River a real place? In Matthew chapter 4, you read about Galilee. Is Galilee a real place? Matthew 16, Caesarea Philippi. Is Caesarea Philippi a real place? In Matthew 21 through Matthew 28, you read about the city of Jerusalem. I'm asking you, is Jerusalem a real place? You say, yeah, Keith, these are real places because the Bible speaks about these places. And you're right. But you know something? The same Bible, in fact, the very same Bible that speaks about Bethlehem and the Jordan River and Galilee and Caesarea Philippi and Jerusalem and all these other places also speaks about the place called heaven. It is a real place. I go, Jesus said, to prepare a place for you. Not a make-believe place, not a fictitious place, not a physical place, a spiritual place. But number two, it's not just a place. It is permanent. It's permanent. It's a permanent place. I want you to do me a favor, do yourself a favor. Look around. Look around the room. What do you see?
Car.
Maybe look out a window and you see a car. Do you realize that everything you see is temporary? Lights, building, carpet, pews, people, flesh, blood. It's temporary. In fact, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we don't look for the things that we see, we look for the unseen. For the things that we see are temporal. What do you see, folks? Look around. Oh, folks, I'm not going to go anywhere. I promise I'll stay right here. Look around. What do you see?
Car.
Pews, songbooks, church building. It's temporary. Go out into the parking lot and you'll see cars. Temporary. Heaven is not temporary. It's permanent. In fact, didn't Jesus say in Matthew 25, verse 46, and they shall go away to everlasting punishment, but the righteous and to life eternal. Life eternal. You know, sometimes we talk about spending eternity. You ever heard a preacher say, where will you spend eternity? Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. You can spend a lifetime. You can spend a dollar bill. There's no way, there's no possible way you can spend eternity because eternity has no end. Sometimes we talk about living throughout eternity. You ever sing about that? Living throughout eternity. You can live throughout a lifetime. You can live throughout a century, but you can't live. There's no possible way that you can live throughout eternity because eternity has no end. Now, we preachers have used various illustrations. Imagine that this church building is made of wood. Everything in it is made of wood. Songbooks are made of wood. Pews made of wood. Carpet is made of wood. How long would it take one termite to eat the entire church building? Take a long time, wouldn't it? But that's not forever. That's not eternal. Let's say that you have one bird, maybe an eagle. The eagle flies out to the ocean.
swoops down, gets a beak filled with water, flies to the moon. Let's say that's possible, however far that is, however long that would take. When the bird gets to the moon, opens up his mouth, out comes the water from the moon, he flies back to the earth, goes back to the ocean, gets another beak filled with water, flies back to the moon, and he does that over and over and over, from the earth to the moon, from the moon to the earth. How long would it take that one bird to enter the ocean? It'd take a long time, but I'm telling you, that's not forever. That's not eternal. Can you imagine eternal life? See, heaven is not temporary. Heaven is forever and forever and forever. Eternal life. It's permanent. But I see something else here. Let me share it with you. I see the presence of God. You say, Brother Keith, why do you want to go to heaven? Well, it's a place. It's a permanent place, and it's a place filled with the presence of God. What did Jesus say in John 14? I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Where I am, that's the presence of God. You're in John 14. Look down at verse 16. Notice who else is going to be in heaven. John 14 and verse 16. I, Jesus, will pray thee, don't miss it, Father. Who's going to be there? The Father. And he will give you another. Who's going to be there? Comforter. Who's the Comforter? No doubt about it. Look down at verse 26. But the Comforter, who's the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, and there they are, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You say, Brother Keith, why do you want to go to heaven? I want to go to heaven because God will be there, the presence of God. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And you know, brothers and sisters, Jesus did not lie. He did go to prepare that place, didn't he? Acts 1, 9 through 11, he ascended into heaven. And then Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, for the Lord himself, who's coming? Not some fake, not some imposter, not another preacher. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a what? Scripture says a shout, right? You know, in Church of Christ, we don't want the preacher shouting. You don't want James to get up here and shout at you, do you? We don't want the preacher screaming and yelling. I mean, that sounds too denominational, right? That sounds too Pentecostal. Let me tell you something, folks. When Jesus comes, he's coming with a shout. A shout, right? Voice of the angel, trump of God, dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be in the presence of God. I'm telling you, I want to go to heaven to be with God. I want to go to heaven to be with my Father. And if possible, to hug him and to thank him for sending his Son Jesus. And I want to go to heaven to be with the comfort of the Holy Ghost. And if possible, to hug him and to thank him for giving to me the mind of God through the Holy Bible. And I want to go to heaven to be with God the Son, Jesus himself. And I don't know if it's going to be possible, but if possible, to reach out and to hug him and to thank him and to say, thank you, Jesus, for dying. Thank you for bleeding. Thank you for going to the cross. And I would say, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'd rather be absent from this body. I'd rather be absent from this life to be where? To be at home with the Lord. I want to go to heaven because heaven will be filled with the presence of God. Let me tell you something else. I want to go to heaven because of the people who will be there. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Think about the people who are going to be in heaven, folks. Can you imagine Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The friend of God, the father of the faithful. And his son Isaac and Jacob. Think about the people that you're going to meet in heaven. David, the man after God's own heart. Daniel, the one that was thrown into the den of lions. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The three friends who were thrown into that fiery furnace. And Moses. Don't you love to read about Moses? Can you imagine being with Moses in heaven? You remember the story, don't you? God called Moses to lead his people out of bondage. Moses, Moses, take off your shoes. I want you to imagine you're out in the desert, out in the wilderness, and all of a sudden a bush on fire begins to talk to you. What would you do? probably whatever the bush said, right? Moses, Moses, take off your shoes. That's what Moses does. He takes off those shoes. And God said to Moses, I want you to lead my people out of bondage. And Moses said, well, Lord, what if they don't believe me? And God said, Moses, what's in your hand? I love God. I really love God because he doesn't ask difficult questions, does he? What's in your hand, Moses? Moses said, it's a stick. It's a staff. God said, throw it down. And I love Moses. I really love Moses because he just does what God tells him to do. He throws it down. And the Bible says it became a what audience? Yeah, a serpent. You know what that is? That's a good way of saying a snake, right? I don't know how you feel about snakes. I know how Moses and I feel about snakes. And the Bible says he ran from it, right? Where is he? He's out in the desert. What does he have on his feet? Nothing. He's barefooted. Take off your shoes. How old is he? Do you remember? How old is he? 80 years old. Think about that, folks. 80 years old. By the way, there are only two chapters of the book of Exodus about the first 80 years of Moses' life. There are 38 chapters in the book of Exodus about the last 40 years of his life. Moses really started living when he was 80 years old. We have a lady in this audience that sells houses. I don't think she would mind if I share her age. She's 85 years old. Is she 85? I'm in trouble. She's still selling houses. That's awesome. Don't stop living, folks. Older people, we need you. We need your wisdom. We need your love. We need your encouragement. We need your prayers. But think about it. Here's an 80-year-old guy out in the desert, hiking up his robe, running from that snake. Ah! God said, Moses, come back, pick that thing up. I bet you. I'm not a betting man, but I bet you he picked it up by the tippy-tippy of the tail, don't you? But you think about a man with incredible faith. If you think about a great guy like Moses in heaven, imagine it's the first day of heaven. You die and go to heaven, it's the first day. And here's a guy talking about his three missionary trips. And then of his trip to Rome, and we're thinking, you want to kind of pinch yourself? Is this real? Is this Paul? The Apostle Paul? And then here's a guy talking about that first gospel sermon that he preached on the day of Pentecost. And 3,000 people responded to be baptized. And we're thinking, am I dreaming? Is this real? Is this Peter, the Apostle Peter? And over here, here's a guy talking about love. It must be John, the disciple of love. And we're thinking, wow, can you imagine the people that will be in heaven? I tell you, folks, I bear my soul with you. Being with these people, the people of the Bible, wouldn't mean more to me than being with any president of the United States. Being with the redeemed of the Bible wouldn't mean more to me than being with any movie star Hollywood has ever produced. Being with the saved of the Bible would be like getting on a train or a bus and going to a far distant city to be with best friends. That's who they are. Best friends, the saved of the Bible. But let me tell you, not only do I want to be with the people that I read about in the Bible, I want to be with the people that I currently know on earth. If you're a baptized believer, and this is not invitation time, okay? So don't reach for your songbooks and don't get nervous. But if you're a baptized believer, if you believe in Christ and you have put on Jesus in baptism, Galatians 3:26-27, you're all the children of God by faith. For as many of us as been baptized in Christ have put on Christ. If you believe in Christ and you have put on Jesus in baptism, and if you're walking in the light, brother, sister, you're going to heaven. And I want to go to heaven to be with you. My mother is with us tonight. I want to go to heaven to be with my mother. I want to go to heaven to be with my wife. I want to go to heaven, James, to be with you. Riley, maybe, I don't know, maybe they'll let you lead singing in heaven. Probably not with a bow tie, but you can lead singing in heaven. And brother, I want to go to heaven to be with you. And sister, you. And brother, you. You say, Keith, do you think we'll know each other in heaven? Yes, I believe the Bible teaches we'll know each other in heaven. You say, well, brother Keith, what if we get to heaven? And we look all over the Curtis City. And we check every apartment list and every mansion. And we find out a loved one is missing. A loved one is not there. Maybe a son or a daughter, a mom, a dad, a husband, or wife. Not there. Somebody says, how can you be happy in heaven realizing that a loved one is not there? I don't know. The best that I can offer is, in a place that's permanent, like heaven, a place that's filled with the presence of God and the people of God, we will be happy. You say, Keith, why do you want to go to heaven? I tell you why. It's a place, a permanent place, filled with the presence of God and filled with the people of God. Let me give you another reason why I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven because there will be no problem in heaven. No problems in heaven. Did you notice how Jesus started out John 14? He said, let not your heart be troubled. Let me tell you what I wish, folks. I wish that I could stand up here and promise you the thing. I wish that I could get before you and say, man, if you'll just be faithful to Jesus, you're never going to have any problems. You're not going to have any marital problems or financial problems or health problems. If you'll just be faithful to Jesus, you're never going to have any problems. The opposite is true. Christians have problems. Would you agree with that? Jesus said, let not your heart be bothered, be troubled. The implication is there's trouble down here. In fact, he says right here in this same book, John 16, verse 33, in the world, there's going to be tribulation. In heaven, folks, won't be any problems. No financial problems. No health problems. Won't be any wheelchairs in heaven.
Walk. Keep walk.
You think you're going to walk in heaven, Pete?
Run to.
I suspect you will. No cancer in heaven, folks. No cancer in heaven. No losing a job in heaven. No problems. Can you imagine? That's why I want to go. Let me give you another reason why I want to go to heaven. In heaven, won't be any pain. Won't be any pain in heaven. Have you ever been in any pain? Yesterday, I went to see the doctor yesterday morning because I've had knee pain. For the last several months, I've been walking around like old Chester. You remember Chester from Gunsmoke and Limp? Why are you limping, Keith? My knee hurts, so I had to go get it drained yesterday. You ever been in any pain? Maybe kidney stones, birth pain, pain in your chest, your head hurts. John put it like this in Revelation 21, verse 4, and in heaven God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For these things are washed away. No pain in heaven. But I see something else. I want to go to heaven because how special, how precious, how pure heaven is going to be. It's going to be a place of great purity. In fact, Jesus said in the great Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The Apostle Paul put it like this in Galatians 5, starting in verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are made known, and they are these: fornication, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, sins of impurity, idolatry, witchcraft, sins of irreligion, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, sins against love, drunkenness, revelance, and such like, sins of uncontrol. Paul said these people won't make it to heaven. They'd be lost in hell. John put it like this in the last verse of Revelation 21. As far as I know, Revelation 21, the whole chapter is on heaven. But if you get down to verse 27, the very last verse, and John says, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defiles. Maybe your Bible says anything that is unclean. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, we will not go to heaven with unclean words in our hearts. We will not go to heaven with unclean words flowing from our mouths. We will not go to heaven with unclean deeds on our hands. And I'll be frank with you. I don't want you to go to heaven unclean. God doesn't want you to go to heaven unclean. God says no unclean thing will enter into my holy, beloved, pure city. No sin there. No sin there. That's why Jesus died. So that you and I could go to a place of complete purity. You say, Brother Keith, why do you want to go to heaven? I tell you why I want to go to heaven, folks. It's a place permanent, a place filled with the presence of God and the people of God. No problems there, no pain there. And how special, how beautiful, how pure heaven is going to be. I love the story about the guy that wanted to be buried with a fork in his right hand. No doubt you've heard the story. It's a great story. The guy that I'm talking about was terminally ill. He knew he was going to die. He had a few weeks to live. So he called his preacher. Knowing that he was going to die, he called the preacher. And the preacher came over. And this sick guy talked to the preacher about the songs he wanted in the funeral, the comments he wanted made, the scriptures he wanted read. And after about 20 minutes, the preacher got up to leave. And the guy said, "But sir," to the preacher, "there's one other thing." The preacher stopped in his tracks. "Yes, sir, what is it?" And this guy said, "Preacher, I want to be buried with a fork in my right hand." "A fork?" the preacher asked. He said, "Yeah, let me explain." He said, "You know, in all the years of attending church, all the church dinners, the luncheons, the socials, the banquets, after the delicious meal was served, somebody would usually walk up and whisper in my ear, 'Frank, hey Frank, keep your fork.' And Frank smiled and said, 'Preacher, that was a sign to me that something better was coming. The dessert was coming.' And Frank said, 'Oh, I love the dessert. The triple layered chocolate cake, the strawberry shortcake, the deep dish apple pie.' Oh," Frank said, "I love the dessert." And he said, "Preacher, I want to be buried with a fork in my right hand. And when people come to my visitation or my funeral, and they look into the casket and they see me with a fork, and they start asking questions like, 'The fork, what's old Frank doing with a fork?' Frank said, 'Preacher, at my funeral, I want you to get up and tell the audience there's something better that's coming. And I want to tell you from my heart, in the name of Jesus, there's something better that's coming. Are you heaven bound? Are you saved? Are you going to heaven? If you were to die right now, would you be saved?" I was teaching a Bible class some time ago. Had 85 students in this Bible class, most of whom members of Churches of Christ. And I asked that question like this. I said, "If you were to die, or if Jesus were to come, would you go to A, heaven, B, hell, C, I do not know, or D, neither heaven or hell?" The number one answer was C, "I don't know." Three in that Bible class said, "If Jesus were to come, I wouldn't go to heaven, I wouldn't go to hell. Frankly, I don't understand that answer." But three of them said either heaven or hell. "I wouldn't go to heaven, I wouldn't go to hell." 11 in the Bible class were totally, completely honest. 11 said, "I'm lost, I'm going to hell, I'm hell bound." 31 said, "Praise God, I'm going to heaven, heaven's my home." But 40 students in that Bible class, most of whom members of Churches of Christ, said, "I don't know, I'm just not sure." But tonight I want to close with the very same question. I want to ask you, be honest, I'm asking you, if you were to die right now, or if Jesus were to come tonight, and wouldn't it be wonderful if Jesus came tonight? If Jesus came right now, would you go to A, heaven, B, hell, C, I'm not sure, I don't know, or D, neither heaven or hell? Let me tell you what some of you are thinking, okay? I'm not a mind reader, but I do know people. Let me tell you what some of you are thinking. I'm not sure. I mean, I want to go to heaven. You would not be in church on the 4th of July unless you wanted to go to heaven. So you want to go to heaven. But down deep, you're thinking, you know, I don't know. I just don't know. And maybe that's the devil that's placed those doubts in your heart. Maybe old Satan did that to you. Or maybe you've lived in a way that you have a reason to doubt. And folks, listen, are you listening? I don't want you to leave tonight with doubts. I don't want you to leave tonight in discouragement. I want you to leave tonight with hope. So if you were to die right now, if Jesus were to come, would you go to A, heaven, B, hell, C, I do not know, or D, neither heaven or hell? What's going to happen today?
Rock.
Has this just been something to listen to? Or will you take this lesson, put it into your heart, put it into your life, and do something about it? We have some people in this audience that need to be saved. You really need to be saved tonight. I would say to you what the Apostle Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. Change. That's the hard thing about becoming a Christian. You need to change. Repent. Change. And he didn't stop there. He said, and be baptized. We have some people in this audience that need to be baptized. Not tomorrow, not next Sunday, tonight. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. You say, "Brother Keith, you're not talking to me. I was baptized when I was 12 years old. I was baptized back in the 1960s. Let me talk to the baptized believers of this audience. I know you want to go to heaven.
You wouldn't be here tonight unless you wanted to go to heaven. But are you heaven bound? Say I have a feeling we have some baptized believers who just need to renew the faith. And you need to be open and honest and transparent. You need to come clean. The Bible talks about that. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. When was the last time you confessed to anybody? When was the last time you walked down a church aisle and said, pray for me? You probably did not come tonight thinking, you know, when we sing the invitation song, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go forward. I'm going to respond. But why not tonight? Why not tonight? We want you to come just as you are. In fact, Riley, don't shoot me, but I want us to change the invitation song tonight. Could we sing number 308? I think most of us know that from heart, just as I am. It's a great song, great invitation song. And we want you to come, folks, just as you are. God wants you to come just as you are. Just as you are. You need to become a Christian? Come just as you are. As a Christian, do you need to come and say, pray for me? Come just as you are. Who's going to lead the way tonight? Who's going to come and say, pray for me? I need to be prayed for. It's the last night. Wouldn't it be wonderful if Jesus came tonight? If He came, are you heaven bound? Why don't you come before Jesus comes? Would you? Would you come before Jesus comes? We're going to find out. Let's stand and sing. Come.